Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet. You're listening to the Clap Your Hands podcast, hosted by Elliot Shure Parks and Jack Fritz.
Frankly, I don't feel like clapping tonight. Welcome on in. It's another edition of the Clap Your Hands podcast. Elliot Shure Parks and Jack Fritz, all presented by Coors Lights. And given how tonight went, Elliot, I think we're going to have to drown our sorrows with Coors Lights, because
lots of Coors Lights.
I'm still in disbelief. I can't believe that freaking happened. They got absolutely robbed at the end. I don't like doing the whole ref thing, but that was ridiculous. And I feel like the refs got caught up in the moment too. They wanted the Knicks to win. They wanted the Knicks to win that basketball game. It was such an all-time Sixers game, Maxi flu game, and be like just absolutely. I'm down, man. Like that. That sucked. That really sucked.
Yeah, so let's just call it like it is. The Sixers got absolutely screwed in that game. I am not a blame the ref guy, but we have to admit the refs have an impact on what happens in these games. They have a huge impact in what happens in these games, especially in the NBA and especially in the final few minutes. The Sixers didn't blow this. The Sixers didn't make a crucial turnover. They didn't make a sloppy pass. They didn't miss a bad shot. They didn't take a bad shot. They got screwed. Yes, they gave up the offensive rebound to give up the DiVincenzo shot. But Tyrese Maxey has the ball, and he's laying on the ground. Nick Nurse is calling timeout, and they don't get it. If they get that timeout, we are starting this pod talking about how it's 1-1. We're talking about how Tyrese Maxey had his coming out party, how he became a legitimate NBA All-Star tonight, how that was going to be an all-time win. I mean, I'm watching this, and I'm going from a very frustrating game all game. And the calls were bad all game, but a very frustrating game all game. And then saying, this is a game I'm always going to remember with Tyrese Maxey. In the Garden, the Knicks, big fourth quarter shots. That three at the end was unbelievable. The jumper, the mid-range jumper to get it close and to take a lead. Like, he was unbelievable. And the refs cost him that. They cost him that. I don't know how else to spin it. There's been plenty of times I've done Eagles pods and we've debated a missed call at the end. I'm sure you've done Phillies pods where there's a missed, the ump makes a bad call or whatever they call the people that make the calls in baseball. But this is a game where you cannot say anything else about it. This isn't, Tyrese Maxey was terrible for three quarters and then the refs hurt him at the end. You can say, well, he should have been better. This isn't Embiid was mopey Embiid and hurt Embiid and then the refs screwed him at the end. Well, he should have been better at the beginning. They were both awesome. They both carried the team for the entire time. And if they make the right call, the Sixers are tied 1-1. That's it. That is the story of this game. We'll keep talking about it and how painful it is and what they have to do better and the series being down 2-0. But when I think back to this game, I will remember the Sixers getting absolutely screwed.
They did. And
yeah, I mean, there's almost nothing else to say. Like, they got absolutely screwed by the officials. And it could end their season.
Well, and it really felt, again, I opened the pod talking about it, but it felt like they got caught up in the moment. It felt like the refs also were like, oh, like they panicked. I mean, they absolutely panicked. And sure, I guess if we want to like nitpick, Lowry kind of being out of control and making that pass as fast as he did. But like at the same time, Maxey caught it. He was trying to call a timeout. And they just wouldn't, like, they always grant them timeout. Like,
it's unbelievable.
They always grant them timeout. And I feel so robbed tonight. I really do. Like, I just feel, I feel so robbed that, like you mentioned, I mean, Embiid had 30 and it didn't, almost like effortless 30 from Embiid.
Yeah, it was like, agreed. Yeah.
I looked at the fourth quarter and I was like, he's 30. But like, the story of the game is Maxey, who has the flu, can't participate in pre-game shoot around. The fact that he's been sick this many times is something to be brought up, I feel like. But regardless, mm-hmm. we don't need to do that tonight. I feel like, is anyone, all right, here's a question for you.
Go ahead.
Can you remember a time, I guess besides Jaylen in Seattle, where a guy has the flu or whatever and they don't play awesome? Like, I feel
great. It was a career-defining game.
Yes.
Well, you know, obviously he has a lot of career left to be played. But to this point, it was a career-defining game for Maxey. If they call the game correctly at the end, all the WIP shows tomorrow, the Sixers have their second star. This is who everyone wanted Ben Simmons to be. This is what Harden couldn't be. Maxey's the reason to believe in them. They're 1-1. They're going to win both at home. Then they get the Bucks, who are banged up. I mean, think about how much that call changed it. And by the way, Nick Nurse is talking after the game, and he's saying twice he called a timeout, and they completely ignored him. Now, I understand that reffing is a hard job. But acknowledging a timeout, that's not hard. When you're making plays in split seconds, I understand if you miss something, you have bad angles, the game moves fast. Missing timeouts, that should be base level stuff. And so to look at the final play, first, I will say this. I haven't seen a replay of it. To me, it looks like the Brunson three that he shoots and bounces in. To me, it looks like his foot is on the line. I could be wrong about that. You thought so too, right? It looked like his foot was on the line. So that shouldn't have been a three. They get the lucky bounce. And then to me, first of all, the pass, I agree with you. It's not a great pass. Maxey loses it. That causes the havoc to get going. You wonder if maybe the refs thought he didn't have complete control of the ball, and that's why he doesn't get the call. But it wasn't an egregious mistake by the Sixers. Now, after Dante DiVincenzo misses that first three, you give up the offensive rebound. And it's really disappointing that that happens in that spot, because they had done a really good job the majority of the game. I mean, at halftime, they had more offensive rebounds than the Knicks did. I'll be curious to see what it ended up with. But they played a game worth winning. And they got screwed. I know I've said it a bunch of times, but if you don't mind, one more thing. I know I'm just kind of rambling here. But, like, this is one of the most shocking, disappointing losses of my Sixers fandom. I mean, you know, there were others. I know you compared it to one, and I think you're right about it. But I'm sure there were times in the Iverson era they lost these kind of games. But there's always those moments where it feels like they're losing it. It feels like, wow, this is really getting close. But they're not going to lose. I mean, they were up 5 points with 40 seconds to go, and they lost that game. I mean, that has to be a record. I can't imagine another NBA team in the playoffs has lost a game up 5 with 40 seconds to go. And to not even be egregious with it. They weren't even sloppy.
They weren't. It was a game that, I mean, again, they were down 90-82, and it was so fascinating because first half, it was like, wow, Maxey's, he showed up, he's ready to go. And then he kind of disappeared in the third quarter. And it was a lot of, well, where's Maxey? Where's Maxey? Where's Maxey? And he just answered the bell in the fourth quarter. And I signed off the final out. So I had to do Philly's post game, reacting to seven straight
another
win by
win.
The boys. Seven
another
straight
win
by the boys.
By the
no
boys,
big deal.
Yeah.
But the Sixers were down, like, I think, five or eight, and I said to Fran, I was like, well, they're definitely gonna lose tonight, like, they don't have it, and they dug deep. And the one thing I don't want, and I don't want this to sound participation trophy, but I'm really proud of the Sixers tonight. Like, I know they lost, and I'm not, like, that stinks, but I almost feel like they didn't lose. Like, they did. Mm-hmm. It's gonna end their season. They're not gonna probably beat the Knicks, but like, I'm proud of him, man. Like, I'm proud of Embiid. I thought he was really hobbled out there. I still would consider sitting him at this point. Like, he was laboring in the fourth quarter, couldn't get a rebound. Like, just clearly, the leg was bad. It's just bad. Maxey had a growing up moment. I love Lowry. Even Toby, dude. Like, even Toby.
Toby tonight, man. Toby was good.
He was a grinder tonight. He was an absolute grinder. So, I know they lost. It's a heartbreaker. They're probably going to lose the series. But I don't want it to be lost that I'm proud of them. And maybe this is a grow-up moment for them. And I know it's annoying to do the whole, this is a grow-up moment, as this is like, what, year 10 of Embiid and whatnot. But right. like we talked about, at least heading into the playoffs, this is sort of a new version of this team. And well, Maxey's now the second best player. And tonight, he answered the bell all night long.
So when the Sixers beat the Heat in that play-in game, I said I was more discouraged by what happened than encouraged. And they won the game. Tonight they lost. I feel more encouraged about what I saw than discouraged. Because to your point, I know they didn't win the game. So this sounds silly to say. But they now have somebody next to Embiid that makes sure you don't lose this kind of game. Maxey won that game for them. Let's just call it what it is. Maxey won that game for them. The refs took it from them. It's flat out what happened. So Maxey, to your point, at one, like this, we've seen lots of Sixers playoff losses. We have seen them even win where we come on afterwards and it's, they weren't that good, you know, whatever, right? The Heat game, some of the wins against the Nets last year. So for you to say you're proud of them, I think that's a correct take. And I know it feels participation trophy-ish considering they're down 0-2, but Maxey and Embiid have outplayed Brunson through these first two games. Maxey considerably outplaying Brunson through the first two, and Embiid has outplayed him. The Knicks are up 2-0 because, to their credit, at least the 1-0, they have made a lot of tough shots. It is what it is. Like, Hartenstein is making those floaters in the lane. Josh Hart, I mean, missed late in the game today, but has been unbelievable from three. He was unbelievable from three again today. I mean, OG Anunoby and Brunson are supposed to be their two best players. OG looks awful. I can't believe they traded multiple first-round picks for that guy. He is a non-factor. And Brunson has been really bad. He had the shot that bounced in today. What it is, you get luck. But he was really bad throughout the entire game. I think the Sixers are doing an awesome job with him. He's not getting clean shots, but even the clean shots he's getting, he looks shook. There was a time where he drove to the lane today and he passed it instead of going up against Embiid. So for you to say you're proud, I think that's correct. Like, they have looked like a team through these first two games that I think you could say should be up 2-0. They're not, and that is a reality they face coming back to Philadelphia. But there have been times the Sixers have been down in series, and I thought they have absolutely no chance. And being down 0-2 is really tough. I looked it up today. Embiid is 1-6 in his career in series where they lose two consecutive games. So it's not looking good. But they have not been outplayed. Maxey and Embiid have not been no-shows. Brunson is not outplaying them. It is not crazy to think that if they just get a few bounces to go their way, and if the game is called correctly in the biggest moments, they could be 2-2 going back to Madison Square Garden. Like, it is very possible. I expected to feel more discouraged than I did. But hearing you talk about it and, like, thinking through everything that happened, I feel good after this. I do. And I know it's crazy, but I do. I think that there's been really encouraging signs.
Well, I think it's a mixture of both. Because on one hand, it's like you do feel like you got one taken from you, which it's so funny because you and I, even in, like, the fourth quarter, like early fourth, mid fourth, we're like, oh, we're not doing the whole blame the refs thing.
I know. I 100%. Well, my take on the ref was going to be the NBA's biggest problem is all anybody talked about all game was the refs. That's it. That's all they talked about. It's all Twitter talked about. It's all me and my friends were talking about. You know, it's what we were texting about with me, you, and James Seltzer. But, like, I agree. It the refs ended up being the biggest story of the game. It is what it is.
Well, it's such a shame, too, because I believe they entered into the fourth quarter in both games, pretty much entering into it with a coin flip. It wasn't like the Sixers needed some miracle run in either one of these. Like, they needed a coin flip. And I think the thing that's been the most frustrating is that, again, like, Maxey and Embiid were unbelievable tonight. And it's not that Tobias is bad, because he did get a bunch. He played good defense on Brunson and got a bunch of rebounds.
He was good.
I'm not ripping Tobias tonight. It's just from the standpoint of, like, those guys, like, here, the negative outlook of tonight is that they got godlike from Joel's a bit much, but they got a godlike performance from Maxey,
certainly,
and they were still neck and neck with the Knicks with Brunson playing as bad as he has. You know what I mean? So like that's that's if you want to do the negative negative side of this, like they almost stole a game, but also two of their guys had to really, really go off just to make it that close because the Knicks just have more dudes. It's as simple as that. Like they just have more dudes to where Brunson can do what he's done the first two games, which is essentially nothing. I mean, he's been getting really clamped. Like he's been getting absolutely clamped. And like they just have like Josh Hart, the Josh Hart run in the first half was sickening. I mean, just absolutely investigate him, frankly. It was that egregious. He's like shooting like 50% from three in this series. It has to be. It's not more.
Well, the runner, the like one where he was on the fast break and stopped at the three and just like tossed it at the basket and went in. That's when you knew it was not.
Like, who does Josh Hart think he is? Who does he think he is? It's as simple as that. Like, who does he think he is?
So, I mean, he didn't even go to a big program. Like, it's like, you know, if he went to a real team, then you could at least sit here and go, all right, he's made big shots. But
exactly. And I am proud of James Jackson. He had the, he decided to put away the Cats hat tonight.
That was big of him. For the podcast. Do you think he owns a Sixers hat?
No, he's wearing a Phillies hat tonight. I mean, he knows the boys are streaking.
I was going to say, Jack probably had one on too. Real quick, to your point about them having more guys. So Dante DiVincenzo tonight, 19 points. Hartenstein, 14 points. OG, 10 points. Josh Hart, 21 points. They had 5 players in double figures.
Oh, OG Wade's going to be on fire tomorrow with that take.
I'm sure he will. So
OG Wade's big. Everyone needs to be in double digits for a team to win. Yeah.
He is. That's a bad take by him. But Maxey, 35. Embiid, 34. After that, Toby had 10. Scoring was not really how he impacted the game. He did make some big threes early on. But Oubre, 4 points, 2 of 7. Kyle Lowry, which, by the way, an underrated, devastating thing potentially, is Lowry grabbing that knee.
I know.
I mean, you want to talk about the thing just completely falling apart in the matter of 10 seconds. You go from going up, I mean, tying it 1-1 and feeling good, to losing the game and losing Lowry.
But so, give me, can I just get one, can I have 1 second on that? Just 1 second on that?
Yeah, go for it.
Because when I was looking at him grab his knee, I know it's not the same thing. But it felt like Ryan Howard all over again. Like, I know this is not
a good one,
this is not 2011. You don't have a 102 in baseball team losing at home to the freaking Cardinals in the divisional round. But like for example, the ninth inning in the ninth inning, Utley let it off with a ball to the wall that would have been a home run on any other night, but it didn't go out. And then straight into Ryan Howard tearing his Achilles. Like that's. Yeah. It's not this as grave as that because that was a sign of the end. But like Lowry has to be a Sixer for the rest of time, frankly. Like, I don't need him getting hurt right now. So I for as much as we used to refresh our phones for the Embiid updates, like, I need to know Kyle Lowry's going to be okay.
So this is poor timing because I agree with everything you just said. Like, Lowry was, I tweeted, I can't believe they got him for free. I mean, if you want to say they traded, you know, whatever for him, like if they would have traded a first round pick for him, I would have been like, that's absurd. But he is starting and playing big minutes for them in the playoffs. Now, that being said, at the time, it didn't feel like a big deal, but his missed free throw when it was 101-96 and it ended up being a massive deal. I guess it was, 101-96, 47 seconds to go. He misses that free throw. They don't score the rest of the game. Even if that goes in, I know they end up losing by 3, but ultimately they really lost that game by 1 point. Like that was a big missed free throw, and they missed a lot of free throws tonight.
So, all right, we've got. I want to focus in on that too. So like we got the superlatives, we got the proud of them.
Agreed.
We got all that. The ref screwed them.
You didn't drop your Kawhi take though.
Well, I feel way more devastated tonight than when the Kawhi shot went in.
But yeah, I think like that's a
fair I'm the take. Only one that I feel like believes that way. Like I never connected with that. I just like this team more. I never connected with that team.
This is the most devastated I felt since that shot. I agree with you.
I think we have a revisionist history on the Kawhi shot team. I just do. Like I think we like to do this "oh, woe is me" Philadelphia thing and try to put the Kawhi shot into a category it doesn't belong in. But I didn't connect with that team at all, so maybe I'm in the wrong. But I don't need to bring everyone down tonight. Like I feel like we already have multiple times.
Yes, yes.
So there's a couple things that killed them. Dude, Maxey had a breakaway with 1:51 left and fumbled it out of bounds.
Yeah, good point. I forgot about that. Yeah.
You had that. You had the Lowry missed shot. You had the Lowry inbound pass to a just hounded Maxey, which he should have been called for a foul 100% and should have got timeout, but the ref screwed them. Right. And And I feel like we need to break down the psychology of the last shot, because I don't know why Maxie didn't take it.
100%. I'm so happy you brought this up.
And it looked like to me, he's like, okay, well, Joel's the big dog. He's got to take it. Like, you've been hot, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's one and of also, those pass. It's okay to pat. I bet Embiid wanted Maxie to take the shot.
Dude, well, I'm so happy you brought this up. If you're going to pass to Embiid, pass it with more than 2 seconds left on the clock. What was there when they got the ball? Let me look it up. It was
six. I think there was 6 seconds.
Yeah, you're right. It says 7 on the thing, but it's around 6 seconds. So he goes down the court. Like, that's not a short amount of time. He's a great 3-point shooter. He had just made a big three. He goes there. He even kind of hesitates, like he's going to try to take it. And then he passes to Embiid with like a second and a half to go. Embiid has no shot. I will say his attempt was actually closer than I expected.
I thought he got it off late, frankly.
Oh, did he? Okay. Well,
thought so.
But regardless, I think your point's correct. Maxie, you have to take that shot. First of all, forget you're right about the big dog thing, but forget that. You're the guard, man. Like, Embiid's a center. And I know he's a good 3-point shooter and he's made big shots like that, but you are the one that had the hot hand in that quarter. Joel played well throughout the entire game. Maxie carried them in those final few minutes. So to pass that ball, I thought, was a major mistake. And it'll get lost in all this because the refs did screw them. But that was a very bad decision by Maxie. And it was a very, frankly, in what was an outstanding game, it was a disappointing decision by Maxie.
Yeah, and I have this feeling of like, okay, well, we have to throw out the ball. He's the best player. Like, it's okay to take the shot. There's hierarchy on a basketball team of who gets the final shot, and I'm sure Embiid wants the final shot, but it was just such a...
I don't think Embiid wanted it, not in an insulting way, but I think he knew that was...
I thought Maxie created separation, could have got a shot off, and then just didn't. Like, just didn't do it. He passed it off at exactly the worst time. And, I mean, if you want to get super over-the-top negative, like, also, like, Nick Nurse probably has to have them coached and more ready for that situation. I mean, mm-hmm. It is an end of game situation and they looked totally unprepared for it.
Well, Maxie did also get blocked when it was a 1-point game. I thought he got a good look, but he did get blocked there.
Now, I thought that could have been a goaltending, but
I did too. No one brought it up, but I thought it could have been goaltending.
Yeah. And it's just, it's so interesting to me, just the conversation around this team, because like we put out obviously on our Twitter, the title of the pod, and just mm-hmm. looking through the comments and
I haven't looked. I'm sure it's
it's always positive.
Yeah.
But people are just so mad.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This team all the time, they can't even acknowledge the refs costing that game tonight. And again, we're not blame the refs guys, but like,
but it is
how
what it is.
How you can't sit there and say they got absolutely hosed. It's like the city's just so turned off to this basketball team, and that's why I wanted to do the clean slate thing. Because mm-hmm. I knew this was going to happen, that people are going to bring up all their past failures. And sure, when Embiid looked like he did in the Heat game, I felt it too. But man, like they gave it tonight. Like
they were
right there. And I feel robbed. You feel robbed. It doesn't seem like people feel robbed, and I don't get why. Like, I'm sorry Joel didn't get a rebound. Did you see him limping, like, up and down the court, like he can barely move,
yep,
and still giving you 30? Like, I have questions about Embiid, too, but can we just so much vitriol. Like, I'm sorry they didn't get a rebound. Like, Toby can get rebounds. Other guys can get rebounds. I know he's 7'2". He can't jump right now. He can barely move. He can barely move. So, I can't believe, look, to
that point, and this is why it's unfair, is that games like this decide legacies. Like, we'll be able, me and you, and I hope that a lot of people will be able to remember in 10 years that they lost this game too because of the bad officiating by the refs at the end. But what it'll ultimately go down as, Embiid and Maxey lost this game. If they lose a series, it'll be a first round exit from Embiid that people will throw in his face. I completely sympathize with fans that feel frustrated by this team. The feeling, and I've said this to you off the air, text message, on the air, whatever. The feeling of watching this team no show in a big game hurts me more than
sinking.
It hurts me more than anything else in Philly sports. It just does. That's not how you should feel tonight. Tonight is not another chapter in this team blowing it. Tonight is a chapter of they got screwed by the refs. They did not play bad enough to lose this game. And to your point about being proud of them, I actually thought throughout the game they did an excellent job holding the Knicks off. Like, the Knicks had momentum, it felt like, for three quarters of that basketball game. And the Sixers, while they should have been up more, every time the Knicks got it to two or one or went up a point, the Sixers either pushed them back to 7 points or kept it at 4 points. I mean, throughout that game, they really, really – like, they fought off the Knicks in a place that, you know, we can joke that MSG is overrated. It's certainly a lot harder than playing in Atlanta or Toronto or any of these places they've played in the playoffs before, Miami. So it was a hostile environment, and they really fought back the momentum of that game. So I think that it for a team that has folded a ton, this is a team that mentally has folded. They did not fold tonight. I mean, again, we can go through the plays. Maxey got blocked, the Maxey pass at the end, the Kyle Lowry free throw. They're not completely blameless in this. But if the game is officiated correctly at the end and they just get the one timeout, then everything is different. Everything's different. And people, I hope people can see that and not just go back to the old boring take of, oh, they lost again. Why could you trust them? That's not the story of tonight.
Yeah. And like, again, if you want to be super nitpicky, Embiid did have 3 points in the fourth quarter. Right,
but it's because Maxey was cooking.
Exactly. So, like, and I would have rather had Maxey have the ball, frankly, during that time anyway, because I just don't think Embiid was moving well at all. Like, there was a couple times where he was trying to move, and you could see such a noticeable limp. And
yeah, I mean, he did miss a jump shot. So Embiid, dude, apparently after the game said, "We should be 2-0. We're good. We're gonna win the series. We know we got to fix it. We did a better job today, so we're gonna fix it. But we're the better team."
So I like it. I mean,
I do too. We all know how this is going to end up.
I mean, they're going to get swept, but like, yeah. But also, I mean, as you were talking and how, and what often happens, Elliot, when you talk, I get so many chills. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Like, that's what people often say. Yeah.
When you talk, just if you can see my skin right now, just
I'm a voice of the fan, you know.
You really are.
And you're a Philly guy, so you relate to me more.
I did have a little vision of the yearbook, like a little, like that's what Rollins did in 07. I mean, that's what Rollins did. Yeah, that's what Rollins did in 07. We're the team to beat.
For those that aren't getting the little deep reference here, explain more what you mean by the yearbook.
Oh, well, yeah. So, like, okay. Well, I always think about the Phillies video yearbook whenever there's things going on during a season. And I think, like, this chapter in the yearbook is going to be a movie, essentially. And Bede saying we're the better team, we're going to win the series. First off, puts just such a huge bullseye on Joel. And you know Knicks fans. By the way, I've just been secondhand embarrassed for Knicks fans in most of the...
Well, like, the F&B chants, yeah.
The F&B chants, like, what are you, five? And the stuff after the game, you know, we want Boston. First off, you don't see them for a couple rounds. So,
well, and the stuff on the Jumbotron, did you see that today?
Where they had the stuff on the Jumbo.
So it's shoot around, at least for the Sixers. Excuse me, the Sixers shoot around on the Jumbotron up above their heads. It had Knicks versus Celtics, versus Sixers.
But they don't play the Celtics until. Like they can't play him next round anyway. They have to go through another team before they can even play him. I gotta be honest.
You're back in after that. You were never out, but the smile on your face right now is you feel like you're ready to clap a little bit or something. Like you're dare we.
Don't make me clap. I'm kind of back in, man. That's good.
Joel got you motivated. There's one thing Joel's done throughout his career, to motivate people to believe in him.
Exactly. So, yeah. Exactly. I feel so conflicted about Joel, dude, because obviously you just said that, and now I'm like back in on the Sixers. Like they're going to make a run here, because how could you not believe in this basketball team? And going down 0-2 against the Knicks and then coming back and winning would be magical. At the same time, I definitely, in like the middle of the fourth, was saying obviously sit him for the rest of the series because he's hot.
I know.
Glad you feel that way. I'm also like thinking to myself, there's no way he can make it through like multiple series.
But what's crazy is he's played both games and played pretty well. I mean, he really has. Like,
I know.
Now Maxie's talking right now, and man, I've never seen Maxie. I can't hear him, but he looks pretty sad. Like, for a guy that always looks happy, he looks devastated.
He's not smiling. Good.
Looks angry and upset and sad.
Dude, he almost ripped his jersey walking off the.
Oh, did he? I didn't see that.
Dude, I'm telling you,
this might be the push they need.
Hey, Elliot, might be the wrong time to say this. This might be the year.
This might be. Look, I think as the only Sixers pod of Odyssey, we've always said this is the year. I think this moment proves it. Is this what they needed? Is this like the knockdown they needed?
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, listen, you keep feeding me these quotes. You keep the first 25 minutes of this podcast didn't happen.
Yeah, this isn't a quote. This is not a believing thing. But
why did they have to lose tonight?
Yeah, I know, like, dude.
I was so,
but it felt like they win. Other than the pain of the loss, the takeaways are positive.
Do you want to know why it sucks so much? Because once again, what always happens with this team is the second I believe they're gonna win this game. Like, oh, I cannot believe it. I don't think I've ever seen that. Like,
I know.
Like that's unbelievable. Like,
even just as a casual,
unbelievable.
If you were, let's say, a Thunder fan watching that game, it's simply unbelievable. I mean, to be up 5 points with 40 seconds to go and lose that game is hard to do. I mean, I almost think me, you, James Jackson, James Seltzer, and like Ike could have won that game. I mean, 5 points in 40 seconds is tough. But so the other thing I will say, if you want to go with negative takeaways from the game, and I don't know why you would, it was an outstanding performance by the Sixers, but Buddy Hield, 2 points. Bogdanovich, 6 points, but obviously the two big threes. Like, Buddy is just giving them absolutely nothing. And Batum, while I credit him for playing well and he's played great defense and he does make quick decisions with the ball, He had 6 points. Buddy had 2 points. Paul Reed actually had 2 big points on that putback. But like,
don't just relax.
No. What I'm saying is, this is a bad Daryl Morey game. Like, yeah, Buddy. Buddy was their big acquisition. Bogdanovich was out there to be traded for. Bogdanovich, I know it was only 2 threes, but watching that game, it felt like way more. He was great last game too. I mean, you know, Daryl said the best player at the deadline traded was Buddy. That has been wrong. And if they had Bogdanovich instead of Buddy, it legit might be 2-0, a Sixers instead of down 2-0.
Oh, I totally agree. Do they win that game? I felt like Nurse pulled Embiid a little early in the third. Like, do they win that game if he doesn't pull him in that moment? I mean, I think he pulled him with, like, what, 5 minutes left in the third quarter?
Yeah, I think it was 4.5 minutes ago left in the third. And they were I think they were up one or down one and ended up being down 3 maybe. So they didn't lose it by a ton. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not on the sideline. I don't know how tired Embiid is. I'm sure they have people monitoring him and trying to figure that out. If they thought he needed rest to get to the final bits of that game, then you have to do it. But a Nurse thing I'll criticize him for. So if you notice, and look, this is going to expose my lack of knowledge of the every NBA rule book thing, but they had 3 timeouts and you lose that 3rd timeout when it gets to the inside the 3 minutes. When you are trying to manage a guy of Embiid's size and keeping him not tired and keeping him fresh for the game, like those timeouts, forget momentum and challenges and stuff. And Nurse did have the big challenge to his credit, which helped. It looked like it was going to win him the game. But they blew it. Nurse let a timeout expire, and Embiid could have gotten 2 or 3 minutes of real rest by that. So I thought that was a poor Nurse decision. But I mean, outside of that, they've shut Brunson down, and Knicks guys are just making shots. I have no problem with how they're coaching. I don't think this is like a Doc game where we can come out and say he didn't make any adjustments or his plan's not working. They've shut Brunson down. They should be at least 1-1, and they had a real chance of winning that first game. So I think Nurse is mostly good, but you're right. He did make a few errors tonight late.
And they fixed is probably a stretch. It was only one game, and I think they just kind of wanted it. I think they're embarrassed by the rebounding thing. But the rebounding thing was not a problem tonight.
For sure.
I mean, until the last 5 seconds of the
Knicks
game.
The Knicks had 12 offensive rebounds. The Sixers had 10. Yeah.
I mean, they
Man,
did
Joel
their job.
Looks really sad. I know he had that quote, but he does not look happy.
All right. Well, no. We only want...
We only went the positive. It's the year.
Well, the
it's
second
the name of the pod. It's the year.
Like most people are saying after the game tonight, this feels like the year. No, because when he gave the Embiid quote, I was like, okay, the Rocky theme's going in my head. And I'm starting to map out the Sixers' path to a championship here. But
you're right. I mean, it was an encouraging performance outside of the ref screwing them. It was. I don't know what else to say. It was an encouraging performance.
Again. Proud of him. I'm not even like doing a bit. I'm not even doing a bit. Like I
what's the Doc thing? Cherish him, or what's the drop you play all the time?
Oh, to celebrate him.
Yeah, celebrate him. That's it.
Celebrate all the stuff they would.
This is your celebrate him.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, just some other things that I kind of noticed throughout the game. I don't think I've ever seen Joel Embiid miss that many foul shots.
Yeah, what did he finish tonight? Joel was 8 for 12, so he missed 4, which is obviously, you know,
dude, it felt like way more than 4. It really
Lowry did. Missed 2 free throws. That was it. They only got that can't be right. Oh yeah, they shot 22 free throws. Maxey went 6 for 6, but yeah, you know, winner. Lowry and Embiid both missed big free throws.
Yeah, but that sucked. I mean, it sucked.
Yeah,
it
man,
really sucked.
It just doesn't feel like it should be 2-0. I have felt the emotion of feeling like the Sixers season is over. And I think I should feel it more than I do now. Like, it doesn't feel like it's 2-0. I know it is. And like I said, teams that Embiid is 1-6 in his career when he loses consecutive games in a playoff series, that's discouraging. Teams that go up 2-0 in a playoff series, I believe win 93% of the time or something absurd like that. So it's stacked against them. I feel way better than I did at the beginning of the pod. Sitting there at the end of that game, sitting in silence, like no one texting me, just like utter shock. That felt devastating.
Well, because
but
it's
play
not
well.
Because it's not like you've left these first 2 games being like, wow, the Knicks have clearly outclassed them.
Yeah,
like,
no, you're right.
Do they have grinders? I mean, ultimately, this season's going to come down to Morey at the deadline and the Buddy Hield acquisition and like not even just trying to put. listen, I'm not a campaign guy, but he's not going to be afraid of that moment. And, like, I just, they don't have enough. I mean, they don't have enough. And they put so much pressure on Embiid and Maxey to where, you know, if they're not cooking, then they're not going to win these kind of games. And when you're ill-equipped to kind of go into these kind of dogfights,
yeah,
with proper, you know, people on your roster, this is how you get down 2-0 in a series where you're pretty evenly matched. Like, the Sixers have the better coach, and they have the star player, and arguably the second best player in the whole round.
Yeah,
but they just have more dudes, and in a game like that, where it's a dogfight, where sure, Embiid and Maxey were brilliant, it doesn't ultimately matter because the Knicks go legitimately 8 deep. And it's been my problem with really the entire Embiid run here is that you can have whoever be a second star. I never felt like they had good enough complementary players around him and enough winning players. And like Lowry, winning player, made some not winning player moves tonight, but winning player. Batum, winning player. I mean, that's about it. Like, Oubre was a zero tonight. I mean,
he plays good defense, but you're right, on the offensive he was a zero.
He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything.
I agree. I think too that what really hurts about this is I'm a big, you know, you have to have stars to win, right? I agree with you about the role players and all that, but with 4.5 minutes ago, or whatever it was, or 4 minutes, I said this is where the Sixers having two stars and the Knicks having one star has to matter, and it did. It did. Like, Maxey did it. And Brunson didn't. But the Sixers lost. So
they did.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, in two games that are really, really close. And obviously this game was decided in the final minute. But throughout the game, your point about the role players was true. In a series where it could be 2-0 Sixers and it's not, it's the small things that have really hurt them. And the Knicks role players have stepped up and made big shots, and the Sixers role players have not.
Wow.
I mean, that Toby made big shots early, but he missed a three late. That really hurt. I mean, so, yeah,
he's a grinder, man. He's a grinder.
Yeah.
He's a grinder. Well, I got to be honest, I'm kind of conflicted because on one hand, I'm really down because that was a shocking ending. Like, I can't remember many like that, frankly. Like, right. I mean, it's not as drastic, but obviously, like, Joe Carter comes to mind where it's like, but I think people kind of felt that one coming. I didn't feel that one coming at all. And on the other hand, like you said a couple minutes ago, I expected down 2-0, doom and gloom, they're done. And believe me, the second they lose,
we haven't looked at our mentions, so let's see. Sure.
But, you know, like, heading home, I do think there's a chance. And I'm not calling for the sitting of Embiid anymore. I mean, through the first, when they were losing by like 8 in the fourth quarter, I was like, all right, pull the plug.
Yeah, but now you feel it.
But now, again, it could be the year. So make sure, you know, James cut that audio and save it for the end. When the Sixers go on their run to maybe the Eastern Conference Finals.
This was the moment.
This was the turning point of the season.
Look, this was the turning we started point of this season. Pod by saying we are here to save the Sixers. At 11 o'clock at night, after one of the most devastating losses of our lifetime, we're here to do it again.
Well, and that's when it comes down to not blinking in the eyes or, you know, the jaws of defeat. I have no idea. You know what I mean? Like, we're not blinking when the pressure's on. You know,
we never have.
We're rising to the occasion. So we're going to try to do, because I think they got a shot. I like the NBA quotes. I like how mad they are. I like how mad Nick Nurse is. They should get a favorable whistle back in Philly in Game 3. They're not dead yet. They're not dead yet. Yeah.
Here we go. I would call that the pod, but it's. I don't think people want to hear that. But
are they dead?
I feel
or
better
are they
after
not
recording
dead?
It. I feel better. I feel. I'm happy we talked this out. Hope
always
people
cathartic.
Listening feel better.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do at all. But
no.
It's okay. We will. We'll keep grinding. But man, what a crusher, man! Like, it should have been a 1-1 happy pod. They come back to Philly, bang, here we go, and they just got absolutely jobbed. All right, do you have any final thoughts for us?
The last final thought is apparently while Embiid is giving his postgame presser, he's covering his one eye. Something is up with his eye. Like something is up. When you look at him, he's blinking weird. There's times where it looks like his one eye is like kind of something's up with him. So I don't know what it is. He's wearing sunglasses all the time, which I respect as somebody that's currently in the market for fly sunglasses. I respect that he's doing it, but something is up with it.
For sure. There's definitely something up with his eye, which is great. Just added to the list of nonsense he's had to deal with. But man, I just lost it. I didn't see coming. I really didn't. I was so happy when Maxey hit the shot. I was like, God, he really grew up.
And I know.
They got jobbed. They got absolutely jobbed.
Completely jobbed. Yep.
And then you start thinking about the dumb stuff that they did late in the game. And it's like, God, well, if you could have just made, whatever. It's the year. So it's the year. So for Elliot Sherparks and James Jackson not wearing Villanova here tonight, this has been another edition.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.